Hello friends, welcome to Electronics Club's Insights Conversation. Today, we have with us Dr. Jonas Alquez, the co-founder and CEO of LX Labs. Dr. Jonas has over a decade of experience and holds 10 patents to his name. He has authored and co-authored more than 20 publications in the field of ALD and CVD process development. He received his PhD in inorganic chemistry from Uppsala University in 2003. He co-founded LX Labs in 2019 in Sweden, which is developing a new method of manufacturing semiconductor components cheaper and faster. As the world is dealing with an acute semiconductor crisis, startups are gearing up to play an important role in bridging this gap. Today, we will discuss with Dr. Jonas about the role of startups in dealing with the crisis and what technological developments are underway in the industry. So welcome, Dr. Jonas, to Insights Conversation with Electronics Club.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here with you today.
Thank you, Dr. Jonas. And first of all, congratulations on raising the seed funding.
Thank you so much. That was quite an achievement from us. So we are very happy about this.
Nice. So Dr. Jonas, let us know, how do you plan to use this fund? What a little bit about your company and its labs? What are your plans for this fund? And how do you have any plans for geographical expansion?
Yes, so we have our core operation in Lund, south of Sweden. So it's the largest university city in Scandinavia. So, you know, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Finland. So it's the one of the older universities, and also today the largest one. So, and it's in a big city area together with Copenhagen in Denmark. So we're integrated to Greater Copenhagen. And yeah, it's a 2 to 3 million population area, densely populated in South Sweden in Denmark. And this seed investment, yeah, so we want to expand our activities. So we have partly also in the headquarters in Lund. So we have been operating out of the university clean room. It is sort of a national lab of Sweden for nanoscience, Lund Nanolab. And we have identified a new clean room facility with offices where we want to move in. And part of the funds will be used to equip this new laboratory and also hire more researchers. So we have some new hires coming up and joining the company, PhD level, master level, experienced researchers in nanoscience, nanoengineering. And the other part we want to do to expand, so we need to get this process that we have developed over quite some time now, since the discovery in more than 5 years ago. We want to bring it out of the lab and into fabrication. And here we are in a bit of a hurry because we have a disruptive technology that the industry really needs these days. So as you mentioned in your introduction, we have a critical situation with lack of component triggered by the pandemic and other things. And we need to get this productive. So we're going to bypass all this typical work going from university via different wafer sizes. And so we go directly on 300 millimeter silicon wafers. So we're going to get it running on this 300 millimeter silicon wafers as soon as possible. We have already started. We did a bit secret start already this summer, and we need to ramp these activities. And it's going to take place in Germany, in Dresden, Germany, where I'm located right now. So we're going to have a second office opening up here pretty soon.
Nice. That's nice. Dr. Jonas, we all know the world is kind of dealing with a very serious semiconductor crisis. It's a very acute one, which can't be addressed in the nearly 1 or 2 years. So how acute do you see this crisis going deep inside and impacting various industries?
Yeah, so the obvious impact has been, what's been reported, is automotive industry. So when the pandemic came, a lot of automotive companies, car producers, they canceled their ship orders. So they already had contracts with fabs in Asia and Europe, US, and they canceled them because they saw if everyone goes into lockdown, no one is going to buy cars. So they didn't cancel all, but they canceled enough. And then there was the other demand. We moved into lockdown, working from home. Everybody got new internet connections, new laptops, new phones, new cameras, new conference, microphones, everything, headsets. it's a huge demand of consumer electronics that was suddenly on top of the general demand. Streaming media, people got bored at home, they ordered Netflix accounts and started to look at media at the same time that their neighbor tried to work and sharing bandwidth. So it caused a lot of demand in the market on all levels: consumer electronics, laptops, as I mentioned, smartphones, internet service, cloud service, data storage. So every time you store anything on your computer, basically 5 times the amount of that is stored in different cloud services. So it's a huge demand on memory components and logic components. And then there was a gap vacuum available in the fabs where there are canceled orders from the automotive companies. So these were pretty fast filled up with other orders. And then the crisis developed and automotive companies again wanted to order. And then the fabs already had contracts with other customers that maybe were more lucrative. And that's why the car manufacturers didn't get any components. And so this will all settle down over time. This will go back to normal if, let's say, the pandemic is gone and it fades away now, which could happen. Then it will settle down, it will come back to balance, and then we will be back to oversupply because there's a lot of fabs being built now. So if you look at our timeline, we are more preparing, looking ahead. We are aiming at 2024, 2025 introduction of our technology, and that's going to be, the next crisis, whatever that will be. You know, it can be an economical crisis, but the demand will for semiconductor goes up and down all the time. It's normal cycles, depends on which components you're making. But the general demand, if you look long term, is going up and it's accelerating and it's more than linear growth in the market.
Yes, like you said, there is going to be another crisis, which would be like most of the countries are nearly almost gearing up to have their own manufacturing facilities, semiconductor manufacturing facilities in their country, or they are currently enhancing the available capacity. So how much time is that going to take? Because obviously that cannot happen overnight, and that's going to impact the entire industry currently. So there is a lot of opportunity for even startups, despite the currently existing companies and the big ones establishing new firms. So what opportunities do you see for startups in this space right now?
Yeah, so we have the opportunity to be disruptive. We can have new thinking. So it's difficult for the big players. You know, if you look at the big fabs out there, Intel, TSMC, Samsung, or there's equipment suppliers, you know, the big companies like ASML, Applied Materials, Tokyo Electron, Lam Research. How should they be disruptive? They let a lot of times startups be the disruptive force in their future technology, and then they engage with the startups at a certain point in time when they see that the technology have bridged this valley of death. So we are, you know, now going through this valley of death, and we want to cross it in a safe way. And there's so many different ways to cross it. And this is what we are aiming at, so that we want to be ready then, looking ahead 2 to 3 years from now. So if you look, just to put it in perspective today, if you have a phone, maybe you have an iPhone 12, maybe you wish for an iPhone 13 for Christmas, and we think that we are more aiming at components, processes, production facilities that's going to produce the chips that goes into iPhone 15, iPhone 16. So this is something that's on the horizon coming 2024, 2025, and that's where we want to be ready. So as I said earlier, then the market situation, I can tell you for sure, no one can forecast how the market will be 2025. It's just impossible. You can have ideas about it. You can say something about the current year, but if you just look this year, all forecasts that were given in early this year were wrong. The market outgrew the performance. The semiconductor market had forecast of growth in the order of 10%, and those who gave them in March. Today, they put out 20%. If you look at data, it's 25% growth. So this is something that we have to cope with, and we can't have a plan that is relying. We will have to think that the market will go like this, and we will also have to survive bad times. So we have to be prepared that there will be bad times before we enter the market. So, but hopefully we're ready in the exactly right moment. And the big companies, they have to adjust to these shifts in market. So they have to prepare. I think that the big companies already know what comes up has to come down, and they are fully aware of this, and they are preparing for the downturn. And we have to prepare for the next upturn, basically. And this is how, as if you're a startup, you have to think, be able to think also long term. And you will also have to realize that you have very limited means of adjusting to this. So you have to be prepared, and you have to have a long-term strategy when you to survive financially. And say, be careful with your resources that you have, and think ahead when basically calculating backwards, calculate your runway. So at the moment, there's no secret. We have a runway that is about 18 months from now, this investment. So we know by next Christmas, after next Christmas, not the one 2023, we will need more capital. We will not be making money as a company by then. So we are still bridging valley of death. And in order to reach the other safe shore, we will need more. So we have to prepare already now for a Series A investment in the company. So that's after closing the first one, we look at the already now at the second investment.
Yes. So what will happen when we surpass the current demand, the production of the semiconductor surpasses the current demand? How is that going to impact the semiconductor industry, which we're talking right now? How are they going to deal? Will they survive? Will that be the end of many startups in the semiconductor industry?
No, this is excellent ground for startups. So the big players are focused on expansion. They may not have all the resources to be innovative. So they will take also cut corners, and they will just buy innovative technology, license it, pay royalty fees, and support it. But if they don't have really the resources to do this in-house all the time. So that's why it's excellent opportunity to be disruptive with the new technology, cover your base with IP, good inventions, protect the technology, build a patent portfolio around your technology, protect it from all angles, you know, what's coming before your technology, what's coming after, and make sure you have this. Because a small agile team can be move much faster on the innovative plane. What is the problem is you need, in this business, it shoots resources. So in order to process 300 silicon wafers with our process, we have to have capital investments in order to pay for that. And there's no time to build our own infrastructure for 300. That means that we have to go to R&D players that are out there that already have 300 pilot fabs and rent space, have contractual research contracts to do a process transfer. So that's what we're setting up now. And we will start doing this. We already started here in Dresden in Germany, which is the heart of the European semiconductor industry. This is the place in Europe where most wafers for components are used. If you have a car, I can promise you, some of those chips are made here in Dresden and has been made here for a long time. It's not so much focused on smartphones, but it has a shift towards Internet of Things applications. So you have if you have a normal drilling machine at home from Bosch, it could be that this chip has chips from Dresden. So this is an excellent place in Europe to be, but it's a global market. Europe controls a small part of the production capability. US has also lost space. They are expanding very tremendously in building new fabs. In Arizona, you have Intel has announced and are building two new leading edge fabs, 20 billion euro investment. TSMC, the world's biggest semiconductor foundry, is coming to US. Finally, some may say, and they're building a huge facility also in Arizona. Samsung is expanding in Austin, Texas. Global Foundries is expanding up in the state of New York. There's huge investments there. Obviously, Taiwan, South Korea expanding even more, and also China. And so there are this movement that you have, if you look, I mean, we are in Europe, so I'll have a bit of European perspective, is that there's a political decision to move forward with more fab expansions in Europe. But if you look at the numbers, how much is investing, Germany is supporting this with 3 billion euro. It's really nothing compared to what United States, Taiwan, South Korea, China is putting into this. It's Germany is still, you know, the fourth biggest economy or something like this, fifth maybe, and they're putting only 3 billion. It's not much, and but for us as startups, it gives a lot of incentive to move in. There's a lot of support from European Union projects, national level in Sweden, Germany, and we don't need 3 billion. We are also happy with 1 million euro. So it's about what we got now. We got almost 1 million. So we can do a tremendous amount of work with this type of fund, which is value creating going forward. So I think for startups, it's excellent ground in Europe, well supported. And then you're on your own. So that's maybe the hardest bridge, this valley of death. You have infrastructure and resources in Europe to bridge it, but what you're going to do when you cross that valley, we don't know. Let's see. That's another bridge to cross, as you said.
Yes, exactly. So there must be certain challenges for startups in this domain, like it is for every unique, there are unique challenges for every sector for startups. So if you could highlight some of the challenges and talk about the strategies that could be undertaken to resolve those challenges. First, that. Also, what about the investment? How do are the investors ready to invest in startup companies in semiconductor domain? If so, if a startup wants to get a funding, how should they prepare themselves?
Yeah. So we start with the investment. So that was our biggest headache. We thought that would be the difficult part. Was not. We did pitch training, very useful. We trained our pitch, a quick pitch, several times. We had different versions, 1 minute pitch, 3 minute pitch, 10 minute pitch. And we gave these pitches at all events we could. You know, the Corona times, there was no physical events. We used virtual events. So advantage as startup during this time is you can attend any event in United States without having a travel budget. You just log in on Zoom and do your pitch. You know, it's a 3 minute job, then you can do the next one. So in somehow this new way of working has been beneficial for us. We've been home office or in the lab. So we took all opportunities. We didn't really evaluate which is good. We just thought, okay, let's do them all. Doesn't take too much resources, and we just used one pitch to train to the next pitch, you know, and then you learn something, what you can do, and adjust your language, you know, adjust your camera and all this, the basic stuff. So after a while, you could almost do this pitch in the sleep. And this is, I think, you need to get a lot of pitches out there, because it's impossible for you to know who's going to be the investor unless you are some really bright person, and I'm not. So I was surprised by some of the investors that we finally got. I would not have thought that they maybe would have committed to us, but we got very interesting investors and great support locally from around the city where the company is located. So don't just judge any investor. Do a serious job all the time. Do your best. Follow up with all the questions. I think that's my advice. We try to do so, to give response to all interest people. And so now is the time to go. You know, we collected about $1 million, and next round we will have to collect more. And we will have to work on our pitch, our appearance as a company. We have to become a real company in a very short time. So we start up, you know, we have a mentor, our chairman of the board, Stefan Svedberg. He's very supportive. He has done this before. He's helping us with practical details, setting up the company. And now he's handing over these tasks to us. And we have to get more people on board that are maybe not scientists and engineers. So we need to get legal people, business people, financial people. We're working a lot with IP, so we have put to get good effort in having people with long patent experience, patent applications, patent strategies. And there's it's a lot of focus now on things that are not the core technology and the core science that we are used to work with. So It's interesting time. So we have to learn new things every day, basically.
Sure. So my first part of the question, what are some of the challenges for the startups right now in this domain? Very specific challenges to the semiconductor domain when it comes to startups and some strategies that they could follow. It could be on establishing their own firm, maybe on finding a better place to have their manufacturing unit established. It could be regarding the partners. It could be regarding the funding. It could be on any kind of a legal aspect also.
Yeah, so the legal aspects, I think that's the difficult part. So depends on your background, how you're used to operate, or what background you have. But you have to operate in a formalized legal framework. So you need to, when you talk to potential clients, partners, suppliers, you need to make sure, are we going to disclose confidential information? So it's good to in the beginning to refrain from disclosing any confidential information at all, or something that can be bright sparkling ideas that you may have. So you have to watch your mouth a bit, because you can also sign a non-disclosure agreement right away. But this is actually a legal cost, because you will then, since you are naturally the small partner, you get the huge corporate NDA to review and sign. And for most of us, let's be honest, it's difficult to judge where the pitfalls are in that, and you may limit yourself in your freedom to operate. So in some way, it's better to refrain from signing NDAs unless you know it's going to lead to the next step and it's required, because it's a legal cost adding to review all NDAs. So you have to pay legal counsel to review it, and it takes a lot of time, because you get a list of complaints from your legal person, and this you have to then communicate back as a small company to the big company, and they will basically laugh at you and just ask you to sign it. And that's a bit different. So we're developing a tactic that we try to avoid, and just be careful not sharing confidential information. We share information that we have regarded as in the public domain, or we say this is not critical. It's some type of, you know, market outlook that is part of our marketing or something like this. We share it, but when it goes down to the details, we prefer not to say too much. We refer to it as a magic process, you know. So this will not work forever, for sure. At some points, you have to engage and you have to give more information. But I think this is my advice to keep from blabbering and talking too much. Even that it's you are happy that the big company is interested in what you are doing, you should know they are taking notes. They 5 minutes later they will file the IP. They have an IP machine. I worked in big companies. I've seen it happen. Some engineers get an ID talking to some university guy. 5 minutes later, they open PowerPoint standard format, write the ID in, send it to legal IP department, and a bit later there's a patent filed on this. So it's, you need to be careful about these things. I don't want to paint a picture that's all horrible, but this, you have to be realistic. This happens all the time. You have to be careful.
So Dr. Jonas, do you think that the semiconductor industry is innovating enough to kind of address the current requirements or the near future requirements of the entire semiconductor and electronic industry? And if so, what are some of the very interesting innovations which are underway right now?
Yeah, so the semiconductor industry, I mean, maybe the wrong guy to ask, because I'm biased. To my opinion, it's the most innovative industry we have. It's more innovative than space industry. It's more innovative than what car manufacturers are doing. Elon Musk, I think a lot of things that people don't notice is that the semiconductor industry is flying to the moon, Mars, and Pluto all the time, but it only gets noticed when there's a lack of components. So if you look at the infrastructure of the semiconductor industry, it's one of the most expensive infrastructures that we have out there that works as one big, huge ecosystem. And if you look at the number of PhD level persons, scientists, highly qualified engineers, experts, legal experts, financial experts that works, semiconductor industry, it's a huge amount. It's, you know, it's at least, I don't have any comparison, it's as big and innovative as the complete health industry and pharma, and probably bigger. So I think the semiconductor industry is one of the top three highest innovative industries on this planet. And it has to be innovative to keep on supplying the customers with what they think they know want. You know, they want to have a next smartphone, they want to have perfect streaming media, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, machine learning, all these things. It's all supply. The infrastructure for that is computer chips. If this industry would stop innovate and stop still stand now at 5 nanometer logic chip and let's say 10 nanometer DRAM and flash memory with 196 layers or something like this, you would notice this pretty fast. You would notice that your next phone would not be as interesting as your previous one. You would, you know, oh, which one should I use, the three-year-old one or the new one? It will be basically the same. So in order to survive in this industry, you have to innovate. And I think startup is a crucial role of this. I can't give any numbers, but there's enough examples there of startups that have been successful, have been bought up at some point, or been successful standalone companies, and they are now very big corporate global companies.
That's nice. What are some of the very important elements the startup founders or people who are looking to start a company in the semiconductor industry should observe, and especially when starting off?
Yes, so you need some sort of mentor organization. So you can't do this on your own. If you're just naive and go out there, maybe there are some people that can do it, but you need to identify people with experience around you that can cover up all these areas where you just have to admit it that you don't have a clue on, you know, on the higher level. You may think, but it's these answers, you can't really Google the answers. You have to actually talk to people and take advice. And I think that's important. You have to be a person, and you have to have a team basically that can take advice from experienced people. You have to learn everything you do. So if you talk to a new client, new customer, a new supplier of something, you can always learn something from them. And the only way you can learn something is to at some point say nothing. So I will say nothing, learn me something, ask me the next question. You know, I'm prepared to listen. So I know I have this myself, this problem. I just keep on talking. But it's important to learn from the person that you talk to and evaluate what answer they give you. And then you need to vet those answers with other people, or you can ask the same person 2 weeks later the same question. He might have changed his opinion. So you have to be prepared that there's no absolute answers on anything. So you need to adapt all the time.
Okay. So before ending our conversation, Dr. Jonas, what would be a word of wisdom for the startup entrepreneurs in the semiconductor industry?
Yeah, you will be up for a task that you should not spend too much time dwelling on it if you can do it, because this question you will never be able to answer today. That's something the answer you will get later. You know, you will have your dark moments when you stop believing in what you're doing. Then you have to have some sort of past success, and you have to think back at these success stories, this set of data, look at it again and say, yeah, we did it, it's proven. We have a paper here from the US Patent Office saying we have checked all patents, we haven't found nothing like this described before in the whole US patent database. This has to be worth something. even if someone else tells you this is a crap patent, it will never hold. But it was approved. You have to keep on believing it. You have to apply more patents, be more innovative as you go, and come up with new ideas. And I think that's the cool part of it, that it's very hard to know what you will be doing the next 6 months. Also, there will be a lot of surprises, so it never really gets boring. For sure, you have to write grant applications. You have to convince yourself it's fun to write grant applications and see the good side of it, and you get better on it, and after a while you can do those pretty fast also. So, but you have to believe in yourself and the idea and that you have, and then you will have a chance to know if this will hold in the long run. So the advisors will not be able to tell you this. You yourself will not. You will have to do it in order to test your idea.
That's true. It's like testing the water yourself. How deep it is, if you can swim through it or not.
It's you know, you should know probably, you can ask friends what they think. They will know you as a little boy, maybe. Maybe they will either see you as that you can do it or not. They will have their own idea about the person. And you yourself also have your own idea about who you are. But I think to do entrepreneur is something that you have to take. It's a risk decision. But even if you fail, it's not going to end with that. Either you give up and get a normal job afterwards, and you failed it. It's not a big deal. It's allowed to fail, right? But if you don't try, you will never reach this success that you could do. And I think that's what drives you. That you know, if you stop now, you will never know. So it will dwell always in your mind. Why didn't I test it? And that's a reason on its own to test it.
That's so true. So thank you, Dr. Jonas, for your time and your deep insights into the startup segment of the semiconductor industry. And we look forward to speaking to you in the near future as well and speak more on the startup and the semiconductor segment.
Thank you. I would be happy. Maybe you can check in with us in 6 months and see if anything that I said today made sense.
Sure, why not? And friends, do subscribe to our YouTube channel and press the bell icon to get notified whenever we upload a new video. Stay tuned, stay with Electronics Lab. Thank you.